Once again, you join us on ZA Confidential, and once again, there's a bunch of us sitting around a table with a glass in each hand, swigging away, and hopefully enjoying what we're swigging. Joining me today, we have Jeff Osborne, who runs Gumtree Auto in South Africa. We have branding superstar Jeremy Sampson. We have Dwayne Newman from Cova Advisory, and we have Malcolm McDonald from Clientel. But of course, no tasting would be a tasting without our star guest, Michael Olivier. Michael, you chose the wine, you brought it along. Welcome.
Thank you.
And what is it?
It's Yonder Hill Nicola. It's a 2015 vintage. Yonder Hill sits at the top of the ridge just as you're driving from Stellenbosch, just about to drop down into Somerset West. And it's on the left, on the good side of the Helderberg. Perfect position for growing grapes because, of course, you have those lovely cooling breezes coming up off False Bay in the afternoon, which ameliorates the summer heat in the vineyards, allows for longer hang time, thus greater flavor in the grapes. It's an interesting farm because they have a herd of Ankole cattle. And Ankole, I don't know if you've ever seen an Ankole cattle, but it has the most impressive pair of horns. And apparently our president, Mr. Ramaphosa, has a flock of them as well, or a herd of them as well.
Does he have horns?
The winemaker at Yonder Hill is a chap called A.B. Birkus. Now, I've known A.B. probably for 30 plus years, I think. Not known him well. But he has made some fine wines for the people that he has worked for, Leaflunt and Darling Cellars. Now he's here at Yonder Hill, and he's producing some really nice wine. The Nicola, which is named after the owning family's daughter, is a Bordeaux-style blend. It has the four main Bordeaux grapes in it, Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Verdot, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot in descending order. Interesting, it doesn't have Malbec in it, which is now really sort of referred to as the forgotten grape of Bordeaux, and has taken off in a big way in Argentina. So there's, unfortunately, I don't have any information about the oak treatment of this wine, but what Abe's done is he's taken, in his opinion, the five best barrels, and then obviously done the blend. And I think there are about 1,600 bottles or something like that of this wine available. I think it's got a stunning label. I really have always liked the Yonder Hill label, and it's a very nice wine. It's a wine that you might want to drink after dinner with, you know, some nice dark chocolate. It's a wine, of course, it's perfect with food. Any meat off the braai, out the oven, under the grill, from the pan. And a good sort of lusty vegetarian, mushroomy, reduced tomato, aubergine type of dish would go perfectly with this wine.
Okay, could you get me one of those and we'll continue?
Okay.
For me, I like it, I admire it. This is a really rich, complex wine. I just wonder if we're doing it a service by drinking it now. We've talked
in earlier
podcasts about how some wines do age, and I think this is still in its youth.
Yes, agreed.
Very drinkable, and with a robust meal, an oxtail, a lamb roast or something, it would be superb. But I think it will gain extra finesse and elegance with age, as indeed have I. Dwayne Newman.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sensing that it's dominated by a cab.
Yes.
Okay. So that's, to be honest, not my favourite. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
I suppose in my Merlot season of my life. Okay. If that's the right word to use. But so I think the other but where it's blended with, I think, soften it. Okay, so I think it makes it drinkable. But so I now prefer the Merlot blends. But yeah, this is it's clearly drinkable, and obviously been softened away from a harsher cab.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
I think it's it has settled down from the. I think it's just about reaching the time when it's right to drink it. It's okay. From the tannins and the aging perspective, but it is gentle enough, yet robust. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's not harsh on the mouth, but it's got a long, rich flavour that needs the food with it. I think. Mm. I think I would really, really enjoy this with some food. It's not the sort of wine I would say, well, let's open the bottom of that and sit down on a winter's afternoon or something. It needs food, I think. And it's really tasty. It's got great flavour, but it needs the food.
You clearly don't have winter like I do. Jeremy.
Yes, Yonder Hill's one of those brands I'm aware of. And stop. I don't know much about it. No, until we heard a little bit more about it and where it is. I find it very drinkable and very easy. In a cold, very cold Johannesburg at the moment, thinking of on a Sunday having a nice roast, well, no, perhaps not a roast, perhaps rather a beef stew. I think this would cut into the bay leaves and the cloves and the flavours there. So I'd be happy to drink this. I find it a bit robust. Unlike Malcolm, I find it a little bit sharp on my palate. But I would certainly, as John's saying, look forward to drinking this in perhaps 2, 3, 4 years' time.
Mm. Jeff?
Yeah, I'd also use the word robust and sort of hesitant to say perhaps rough and ready. So I've subscribed to the view that it's probably a bit early for it. Perhaps we should give it half an hour. Take it from there. I think what's clearly saved it, because it is very palatable, there's no doubt about that, is the blend. I think it's an interesting, complex blend. And there's so many things I'm tasting in there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not averse to the occasional cigar, and I can, latching onto what John said, after a meal to have a glass of this with a good cigar would be very complimentary indeed.
Now, the Petit Verde and Cabernet Franc percentages are quite high. Merlot's low, and it's led by Cabernet, which is 37% of the blend.
For me, oxtail.
Yes.
Jeremy. I'm sure that your branding ears will have pricked up when Michael was doing the introduction and described this as a Bordeaux blend. Now, as those of us who are very good at geography will know, Bordeaux is not near Stellenbosch or Paarl or Franschhoek. But what are your thoughts on South Africans marketing a wine as tasting a bit like something that comes from France?
John, I'm afraid around the world that to mention South Africa is a huge pejorative still to a lot of people. And anything you can do to defuse the South African connection sometimes is helpful. I remember someone saying to me a few years ago that there's a rather sweet white wine called Kupferberger of Schles, but because it had an Austrian name, people thought it was Austrian and bought it. Niederberg actually played on the fact that Niederberg sounds German. I know KWV have worked on Rüdeberg. Some people think it's German. And I'm afraid the fact is that if you can move away and things like Bordeaux blend actually put a little bit of distance. I've often argued rather than produce of South Africa, you should put produce of Western Cape or perhaps one of the actual districts. Stellenbosch, Franschhoek, whatever, Swartberger, Hemel and Hard, Elgin. But anything's better than South Africa because no matter what you say, as you travel the world, there's still prejudice there. Mm-hmm. So Bordeaux blend to me is good, and also we know that there's such a fantastic range of South African Bordeaux blends, which are fantastic wines.
Yeah.
Dwayne, does that depress you?
Yeah, not really. I think it's being a realist, right? there's certain products that we make in South Africa which didn't originally originate in South Africa. Okay, so I think it's, I'm not sure, is it ambush marketing? where you're using somebody else's brand to push your own, and I think that's smart, and I think we need to continue to do that.
Welcome. Do you travel a bit? I know you only go first class, but you do travel a bit. Do you see much evidence of South African wines? If you're in Spain or France or somewhere, and you've got the choice between tasting one of their iconic wines and reminding yourself of one of ours, where do you put your glass?
I think traveling and as a tourist, last thing you want to do is say, well, I'm going to go to Spain and then I'm going to have South African wine.
I agree.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would just be silly. Yeah. You want to take the recommendations of the locals. You want to understand what the local is like. And I think that the South African brand as a tourist brand is strong. And I think it was a number of years ago, South Africa was voted the most beautiful country in the world. So people coming here hopefully would have the same attitude of saying, if I'm coming to South Africa, let me taste the South African wines. Let me taste the South African dishes. And maybe they'll take back with them the view that that's pretty good or even really excellent. And that's my view. I think when you go to a country, you should try their local special brands and produce.
Jeff, you've got family in Cyprus, I believe. And you've lived in Australia. You've travelled the world. Do you seek out South African wines when you go abroad, or do you try? And of course, your parent company is based in California, I believe.
Indeed.
So
yeah.
you do travel quite a bit. What do you look for?
No, I fully agree with Malcolm on that one. In fact, dare I say, nothing irritates me more than my host when I'm overseas, and I had this in California earlier this year, deliberately selecting, without consulting with me, a bottle of South African wine. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I wanted some good Californian wine, Napa Valley stuff, just to taste theirs. But you mentioned Cyprus, John. They too have a significant wine industry, and I've done a bit of a wine tour there, and it's actually not bad stuff at all. There's some really good stuff.
Because Cyprus was the sort of base for sherry into the United Kingdom for a long time, wasn't it?
I think for a long time, and this is where you get into excise duty and taxation issues and things like that. You're quite right. No, where do you work through? But I'm finding everywhere in the world now is producing wine. Now, being in Syria, I was drinking not Syrian wine, but Lebanese wine, and it was extremely drinkable.
It is. It is, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, we've extremely drunk, so unfortunately, I have to wind up this discussion, but many, many thanks to our guest tasters, Jeff Osborne, Dwayne Newman, Jeremy Sampson, and Malcolm McDonald, who, as always, is helping us with the technical side. And a final word of thanks to our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Michael, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
John.
And before you go, remind us of what we've been drinking.
We've been drinking Yonder Hill Nicola of the 2015 vintage.
I'm John Fraser, and that was ZA Confidential.